bring a message beginning in verse number 8. I think it's very important that we realize that the things that we hear sometimes by tradition and the things that we see by tradition is not always according to the scriptures that we have before us. And traditions are good as long as they're correct. And every family has traditions, have things that we do. We always, when I was a kid growing up, Christmas Day sort of was just a down day because we'd already taken care of everything that night. And Christmas Eve is a very, to me, is that special time with family. And now our tradition is we won't let the kids open anything, but they got to open one, at least one gift before Christmas. And so that has sort of become a tradition. I tell them as long as I get to pick it out, and so they don't get the one I don't want to get too early. But everybody has traditions, and religion has many, many traditions. And those traditions are not necessarily in accordance to the word of the Lord. And this morning, I'm going to read in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And we'll be looking at the shepherds that came to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've entitled the message, What the Shepherds Saw. What the shepherds saw that night as they entered into that stable and looked upon that manger. Some things about them and some things about their life. And, of course, who they went to see was none other than the Lord. Now, one thing that the shepherds did not see, they did not see the star of Bethlehem. It was not present. I know our sceneries and our all those have everything together. But according to the scripture, they came and nobody else came that night. And because the wise men, they came at a later time. And they found the Lord not in a stable, but they found Him in a house. And they found Him in an abode. And so this morning, I want us to look in verse number 8. And we'll read down through verse number 20 to get the whole story. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them, into heaven the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Verse number 15, the shepherd says, Let us go see. Verse number 17, and when they had seen. And so there's some things that these shepherds were permitted to see that night that Jesus Christ was born. There was a lot going on in that shepherd's field, a lot of things taking place. It's easy for us to, as mortal people, sometimes it's easy for us to forget about the supernatural part of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth in itself was a supernatural birth, for He was born of a virgin. But here this night, as these shepherds watched their flocks and as they watched over the sheep, we find that the angel appears to them and gives them a story. Now, the Bible has some angels that are named to us. This particular angel is not named, so we do not suppose which one it might have been, or was it one of the two that maybe are named in the Scripture. You have the names of given. The most notable is Michael, and also, of course, Gabriel. Those two names are used on different occasions. The Archangel Michael is the angel of conflict and combat. When you see Michael, you're going to find there's a battle going to take place, and he's going to take care of things. And then you have Gabriel, which was an angel of cheer and comfort. When you see him, he's always on the scene to bring a good message. Gabriel appeared to Zacharias in the temple. Of course, Zacharias being the father of John the Baptist some months before, and also to Mary. To Zechariah, he announced the birth of a messenger. And that messenger was none other than John the Baptist that came and proclaimed the way of the Lord, made straight the way of the Lord. Then he also appeared to Mary, and he announced the birth of a Messiah. She gets the story, she gets the message. Joseph, Mary, they get the message that the Messiah is going to be born, Christ the Lord, and He is Emmanuel, that is God with us. And so we see that angels have always been very active in the work of the God of heaven. A lot of different instances in the Old Testament about angels and some things in the New Testament. But these must have been very hard days for Joseph and Mary. For we know that she was known to be with child before she became really the wife. She was betrothed, or she was what we would call engaged to Joseph, and now she's with child. And I'm sure they had to deal with the gossipers and those that asked questions and those that were doubters. And they had made the trip now probably around 75 to 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fill out the taxation that was given by the Roman government. And then when they got there and traveled all that way, and the Bible says she was great with child, and they traveled all that way, they couldn't find a place to even stay. They didn't have what we have today. We can have our pick and choice pretty much of places to stay. They did not have that, and so there was no room for them in the inn there in Bethlehem. And they have to find a stable, and they find a manger, and there they lay the baby Jesus in that setting of how that He came. While they were making that trip and going through all these things and the discomforts, I'm sure they had some thoughts in their minds of what was taking place. And while they're doing that, while they're considering and thinking about the birth of that new baby, you see, both of them knew who He was. They had already been given the message of who this child was. The messenger had told Joseph, said, "Don't fear to take Mary, because that which she has is holy." And they had the message from the Lord as to who was being born. And they had maybe wondered how that would take place and how it could happen. Now they're in Bethlehem, and there's no place for them. There's no place to stay. And they find this stable. They find this place where the animals would go in shelter at night. And there they place that baby that has just been born, newborn baby, in a manger. And I'm sure it had the straw and had all the things and had the smell of a stable and all that is there. And while they're doing that, there comes a rustling outside the door of that stable. And there's some shepherds that come up on them. And that's where we have read tonight, this morning, about that night of what they did. The Bible says in that same country, in that same, we find it's not only just the country, but they're very close to Bethlehem. They're in the same vicinity because they go that night. They decide they're going to go and see that which is told to them. And that sign that was given to them was not the star, but the sign that they had was a stable. It was a place of lowliness and a place where they might find this child. And so they're abiding in the field. They're watching over their flock and their sheep. And they're taking care of all those things. And the angel of the Lord appears unto them. And of course, we read the story here, the context of it. This morning, I want us to sort of focus on these men that were called shepherds. The Bible tells us that David was a shepherd. The Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. The Scripture has much to say about shepherds at different periods of time of Bible history. They at one time were very honored men. They were very respected men. But when you come to the time that Jesus was born, the shepherds were not too respected. They were of a low estate. They were people that had sometimes all they could do was only job they could find maybe was to take care of those nasty sheep, and they take care of this. And that honor had now been given to them that they was going to go and see this one that was born. You know, the greatest honor that's ever bestowed upon us, that we were invited one day to come unto Him. I'm glad He came to me, as Brother Bradley was saying just a moment ago. He came to where we were. We couldn't go to Him. There's no way that we could climb up a ladder or do anything in order to gain His respect toward us, or that He would even look upon us favorably. But by His grace and mercy, He came to us and presented Himself as the Savior, just as the angel of the Lord here did to these shepherds. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to be a co-laborer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here these shepherds, in their low estate, they are blessed above measure and blessed more than anybody else at that time. They are the first ones to see this child that is called Jesus. They're the first on the scene. And we had Wednesday night, we had the message about Anna and Simeon there in the temple. And they, I believe, were the second group to see the Lord as they gave that prophecy concerning Him. But these lowly shepherds, it ought not to be surprising to us that the Lord would not use the high churchmen of Israel, because the Lord has never used people of high esteem. He's always used those that are, as far as society is concerned, maybe not as respected and not as well off as others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 26 through 29, Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." There's not a whole lot of high echelon people that are called, because many times those type of people are not in a position where they can serve the Lord, because of their own thoughts of their mind. But the Bible says in verse 27 there, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or confuse the wise." He's chosen what the world says is foolish, and He confuses the wisdom of man. And the Bible says, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring not to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Of all the people in Israel, the least expected individuals to see the Lord or to be invited to see the Lord would be these lowly shepherds. It was not the scribes or the Pharisees. It was not those religious hierarchy of their day that the Lord told, that God told where He was. But He goes to a field of men that are just doing a regular job watching the sheep. As I said a while ago, they're not too respected at this time. They had ranked pretty low on what we would consider the totem pole of respectability. It wasn't always that way, but when come to this period of time, they had a bad reputation. The shepherds were known to be crooks and liars and stealers of other people's sheep. And they were, by nature, they were not, by their nature of their calling and what they were not able to go into the city very often to go through the ceremonial laws that were given and the traditions of the religious people of their day. And so, therefore, they were looked down upon by their society. As a class, they ranked pretty low. But God used these men, God used and chose these men that He might reveal to them, that they might go reveal to those around them, and they did that what had taken place that night. I'm glad God can still use lowly people. I'm glad He can still use people that we would consider crooks and liars. Thank God salvation changes an individual. Salvation changes the heart. Salvation changes the actions and the attitude and the actions of the heart and mind. And so here we see these shepherds, and I believe by the reading of the Scripture, maybe these were not the liars and the crooks and the thieves, because they believed God. They were men that were God-fearing men, because the Scriptures give us some things about their idea concerning the Lord. And so we see they are a lowly group of people. They are looked down upon, but yet the Lord of heaven chose them to be the first to come and view the birth, or to view the child that had been born and laid in the manger. And that was their sign. The sign was to them, when you see a babe in a manger, you know that's Christ the Lord. That's the sign God gave them. And they didn't go to the city, I guarantee you, they didn't go to the inn to look for baby Jesus. They went to the stables. They went to the place where they had been told that was their sign. And so these lowly men are, they are given the chore and given the wonderful thought that Jesus has been born, and now they're going to go see. When they hear what has been done and what has happened, and the angel speaks to them, the Bible says they were sore afraid. And before we think too much about them, how would you like to be out in the field and all of a sudden you hear a voice from heaven? You know what happened? We'd be sore afraid also. And the angel had to say, "Fear not, because I've got some good messages for you." And they were in the field watching over their flock, and they were doing what they were supposed to do. Just exactly like David was as a child, as a young man. He watched the herd of his father. He was out in the field. He was a lowly shepherd. But he became king of Israel. And Jesus Christ, the Lord, is my shepherd. And thank God He is the king. And someday, very soon, the coming king of this world. God just wanted to do something out of the ordinary with these men. And God's always used busy people. These folks were busy. They were taking care of the needs that was there. God uses busy people. I've heard that all my life as a young person. I would hear my preacher talk about how God doesn't want lazy people. He wants busy people. And when you think you're doing all that you can do, all of a sudden God asks you to do something else. And God always picks on busy people. And these folks were busy. These men were doing their job. I think about Noah when he built the ark. He was busy. But yet God used him. He built the ark during the day, maybe preached by night. He had a double portion there. Gideon, when he was busy threshing wheat, God called him to be the leader of the army of Israel. Ruth was gleaning handfuls of wheat and was left there on purpose when she met Boaz. And of course, Ruth and Boaz became ancestors of this baby that was born there in Bethlehem. Peter was on a boat fishing when Jesus called him to follow him and to be fishers of men. So God uses folks that are busy. God wants us to be active in the things of God. God wants us to be usable, and God wants us to be available to Him. And so many times today in our society, in our world, people are too busy, and they don't even hear God. They don't even know about the things of God. They don't even know about the call of the Lord, because they are so overwhelmed by the things they have chosen to do. But these men, as they were there, they watched over their flock by night. And as they did that, they have an encounter with this angel, the angel of the Lord. And the Scripture says they were sore afraid, but the angel takes care of that and says, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to," the next two words are important, "all people." Great joy to all people. Not just to the shepherds, not to just those that are going that night, but it's to the whole world that one day would bring great joy. And so we find as they went there, they are looking for this one that has been told to them, and this encounter that has they have had with this angel that changed, I'm sure, I'm positive, this encounter with the angel of the Lord changed not only that night of their life, but I'll guarantee it changed the whole rest of their life. When I met Jesus Christ and when you met Christ, aren't you glad He changed your whole life? He changed everything about you. He changed the way you thought. He changed the way you looked at things and saw things. He changed the way that you felt and changed the way that you acted about in different situations, because now He lives in our heart through the Holy Spirit. And so here these men, they go and they said, let us go see. Let us go see what we've heard. And then when they saw it, they did something about it. And so they had an encounter that was a lofty encounter. They were honored by the Lord to be the first ones on the scene of the stable. Joseph and Mary and the baby are there. I don't know what they's talking about. We are not given that. But you know, when they just wasn't sitting there, they maybe been maybe a little distraught over how they got there. Maybe they'd had a little problem in their mind as to why are we having to be in a stable? Why is my baby having to lay in a manger? And as they're contemplating and thinking on these things, they hear the rustle outside. Now again, get out of your mind the picture that we have of our nativity scenes. It wasn't just a little bitty place out in the open and nowhere. It was in a stable, enclosed, and there was a manger inside. There was a way in and a way out. And so they're in there and they're discussing these things, and they hear the rustle outside of these shepherds. Doesn't tell us how many. By the way, it doesn't tell us how many wise men came later. We always talk about three, but the Bible doesn't say anything about how many. Very unlikely that it was three, because wise men travel in groups of sometimes 30. And so we find that when they came and Joseph and Mary hear the rustling out there, they enter in. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything about here what they talked about. The Scripture doesn't reveal to us what they did or what they said to each other. It says, when the angel had gone away, and the shepherd said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord. You see, these shepherds, they probably were not of the liar state. They probably not of the state of thievery and all those things, because they understood who had talked to them. They understood where the message came from. It came from the Lord. And they said, let us make known what the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste. They was in a hurry. They wanted to see that. They wanted to understand what had taken place. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. So they come with haste and they find them. Doesn't tell us how many stables they went to. And tell us how much they looked, but they found the Lord. They found Joseph and Mary. And then in verse 70, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. So between verse number 15 and verse number 17, there's just the meeting with Joseph, Mary, and the baby, but there's no conversation given to us. We don't know what they said. We don't know what they experienced. And so these shepherds, they exalted the Lord. They knew who had sent them. They understood the messenger that had brought them this message, this angel that brought them the message that there is a sign, and yet that sign is a child laying in a manger. They exalted the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 2:13-14, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That is the desire of the ages. That is the desire of people today, that we would have peace and we would have peace and goodwill toward men, and we are very far from that. But one day when this little babe comes back again as king, he's going to have peace and goodwill toward men. But suddenly, there was a lot going on that night, and they go to find the Lord, and they exalt Him. The Bible says, uses some words, suddenly. Talks about the multitude of angels, or heavenly host. They praise God, and they give glory, and they have peace and goodwill toward men. That is the message of our Lord. That is the message of our Savior. And so the Lord now, as a babe, He's exalted. He has given that respect and that is due to Him. And they go and they say, we're gonna go see what we have heard about. Let us go now. And they hurriedly went and they found them. And what was said is only known unto the Lord. But you know they went in. You know they conversed. They were people just like you and I. You know they had conversation with Joseph and Mary. Can you imagine? I have wondered many times, wonder what the conversation was about. Wonder what they talked about that night. Was it the hardships? Was it problems? Was it about all the things that had taken place? And Joseph and Mary, they have a good story to tell to those shepherds. This is how it all came about. The angel came one night and spoke to us, and Joseph could say, "Yeah, I could have put her away, and I could have put her back where nobody would ever see her. But the angel of the Lord said, 'Do her no harm, for that which she has is holy.'" So they had a lot to talk about, and maybe they did. And I'm just supposing in my mind about their conversation. Can you imagine about Mary and her conversation? How that the angel announced to her she's going to give birth. And she thinks those things. How in the world can this happen? And she goes and sees Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant with a child. And he is that one that's the preparer of the way. He's that John the Baptist. And they maybe compared notes. And they talked. And so Joseph and Mary, they had a lot to tell those shepherds. But you know, the shepherds had a whole lot to tell them too. Well, let me tell you what happened tonight. The reason we're here is because we were taking care of our sheep, and all of a sudden, there's an angel. The angel of the Lord came and told us that we needed to go and find this child. And the sign was that he'd be found and be laid in a manger. We haven't gone to the inns. We haven't gone to the motels. We haven't gone to people's houses. But we've gone around town looking for stables that had a little baby laid in a manger, and we found you. So they had a lot to talk about. They could say, "Oh, while we were hearing the message from this angel of the Lord, there's a whole host of heavenly beings that began saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" What conversation they could have had, exalting the Lord and talking about eternal things. Maybe you and I this morning, we don't talk enough about eternal things. Maybe we don't take the time to really remember some of the things that's happened in our life. I'll guarantee you, those shepherds, they died remembering that night. They went to their grave remembering the night they met the Lord. They saw Him physically. For they were, history tells us that during this period of time, the Jews were looking for a Messiah to come. They were under the Roman rule, and they were looking for a deliverer. So they were desiring for the hope of Israel to come. And here's these lowly shepherds. They get the first view, other than Joseph and Mary, of this baby that's called Christ. I believe that would have been a story I would tell too, and that's exactly what they did. They gave a lasting example. Here in verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They went out from that stable and they made it known all around that area. Here's what we were told tonight, and here's what we saw. So they they left a lasting example of being a witness for what we know and what we see. The Bible says here they made known abroad the saying as told to them, and all they that heard it wondered at those things. You know, people still wonder about it, don't they? It doesn't tell us anybody. It doesn't tell us here that anybody accepted what they said. And everybody they talked to wondered about it. But Mary pondered those things in her heart. Can you imagine? Here's this young lady. Secular history tells us she's probably 16 or 17 years old. Never had been with a man. She was a virgin. She gives forth birth to a child that's of the Holy One. And the Bible says she ponders those things in her heart. What an example that we have in this story. These shepherds became spokesmen before anybody else did. They go out into the city. They go out into the place where they came. The Bible says those that heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. They go out from the stable, never to return back. But as they go, ever how many of them there were, they may have been 5, 10, 12, who knows? But as they go out from that stable and see that baby and have that conversation with the parents of the earthly parents of this little baby called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, for he shall save his people from their sins. As they go out into the hustle of Bethlehem was crowded at that time. Why was that? Well, the decree had been given for what? That every person go back to their hometown and to pay a tax. So Bethlehem, a little small, seemingly insignificant city of Israel, is hustling now with people that have been born there and they've had to come back just like Joseph had to go back. And they're there to pay their taxes. And as those shepherds go out, everybody they talk to, everybody they see, they tell the story. Those shepherds became the first spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can't claim that ever, but we certainly can be a spokesman for Christ. We certainly can make the message known. And the people we talk to, maybe all they'll ever do is just wonder about it. Maybe all they'll ever do is think about it and say, I don't need that. I don't want that. That religious stuff's not for me. This thing of Jesus, he's a has-been. They may ponder, they may look at all those things and wonder about all of it, but there's some that'll hear, there's some that'll believe. You know how I know that? Because there's some in here that have. And we believed. And those shepherds go out and they tell the story. They become those first spokesmen for the salvation of Israel. And then that last verse there that we read in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned. Where did they go to? They went back to their flock. They went back to their sheep. And the shepherds returned and they went back different than they came. They went in haste going, wondering, looking, searching after. Now the Bible says here the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard. So that means there was some talking going on. All the things they had heard and seen. All those things that were given to them and all those things that was told unto them. They go back to their sheep. Same job, same place, same flock, different shepherds. All that same name, they look the same, something different about them now. They're glorifying God, they're praising God for all those things that they'd heard and seen and was told unto them. These shepherds this morning are an example to you and I, surely Sure, they were of a low estate. They wasn't important in the government. They wasn't important in the world. But they's important enough to God that He'd send His angel and announce to them the birth of His Son. A low estate. They had a lofty encounter with the angel and then with the Lord. They exalted the Lord, and they give us a lasting example. If no other time in the year, every Christmas, they become that example of someone seeking out the Lord, finding Him, rejoicing and glorifying, and telling everybody they come in contact with what they've seen, what they've heard, what was told to them. And that's exactly what you and I are supposed to do. These shepherds of Israel, blessed of God, honored of the Lord. And the angel says, here's your sign. Here's what you look for. It's just a baby. Oh, but the baby's not in a house. He's not in an inn. He's in a stable. He's laying in a manger. And when you find that, He's the Christ of Israel. He's the Messiah. And they are blessed of God. They are honored of the Lord, I believe, to be the first human eyes to place upon the Lord Jesus Christ other than the parents. I'd say that's pretty special. I'd say that's pretty important. They come and they see the Lord. They experience the Lord. And they go tell everybody. And they all wondered, what's those shepherds know? What do they know? I'm sure there's a lot of things said to them and about them. Why, you're just a shepherd. What do you know about God? You're just an individual. You're not in the hierarchy of Israel. You're not in the religious group. Who are you? Anybody ever ask you, who do you think you are? Same attitude. Who are we? We are people that have seen not only a babe laying in a manger, but we see a man that died for our sins, rose again the third day, and we look for Him coming again in the clouds. That's who we are. And that's who the shepherds became. Didn't amount to much, but they amounted enough to the angel of the Lord to give them the message, there He is. I'm glad I know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody gave me the message, and there He is. But one day He came to me. And those of us that are sitting in here this morning, He came to us. We didn't go to Him. Oh, we sometimes think, well, I did this and I did. No, no, no. The only way we can ever believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ is that God would give us that gift that is in Ephesians chapter 2, the gift of faith that we could believe upon Him. I'm glad He came to me. Let's stand together this morning.